Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Public safety officials in Springfield are still investigating the aftermath of a massive natural gas explosion that injured more than 20 people and wrecked scores of buildings in the city Friday night. The huge blast sent glass flying, damaged 42 buildings, including a strip club, which was completely flattened.
And the cause? A gas company worker was trying to locate the source of a leak when he accidentally punctured an underground pipe. Here's State Fire Marshal Stephen Cohen.
By methodically examining and testing different segments of the gas infrastructure, we were able to conclude that there was no leak of gas from the main in the street. We have determined that human error, as opposed to a fault in the gas infrastructure, is what the cause of the explosion was.
Cohen says the utility worker was following protocols, but the markings on the street that were supposed to indicate the location of the pipes were outdated and incorrect.
So how risky is the maze of buried gas pipes buried beneath Massachusetts cities and towns, particularly here in the Boston area? Joining us now is Nathan Phillips. He's an associate professor in the Department of Earth and Environment at BU. He's been investigating methane pipe leaks all around Boston and found some surprising and rather unsettling results. And Professor Phillips, welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have you.
Thank you, Anthony.
So you and your colleagues, I understand, mapped Boston's pipelines and found over 3,300 leaks. That sounds like an awful lot. So put it in some perspective for us. Does that mean there are 3,300 possibilities of the kind of huge explosion that we just saw in Springfield?
I would say no, and I think it's really a little premature to be making linkages between what happened in Springfield and in Boston. I think what the recent events underscore is that gas can be, if mistakes are made, a dangerous substance in terms of explosions. And so here in Boston, we did find many of those leaks. We really don't know the degree to which they represent conditions below ground that would be dangerous or not in terms of an explosion risk.
Sure. In the Boston Globe last week, environmental reporter Beth Daly, who's been on our show a number of times, reported that the gas companies and the State Department of Utilities say the chance of a gas explosion in Boston is exceedingly small. On the other hand, when they do occur, they can be pretty serious, as we saw in Springfield. And I take your point that we don't want to make a link between what we saw in Springfield and what could happen in Boston. But how should we be responding in general to this issue, this small risk of a high-impact event?
Right. And that principle, I think, is the way we need to think about it. So the black swan principle or theory about rare events that nevertheless, when they do happen, have consequences, significant consequences, we have to think about those differently than, you know, rare events that have zero or no consequences. Mm. So in the rare event that something happens like that, there can be big consequences. And I think that should shape how we think about addressing our infrastructure.
And I want to talk to you about that. But first, what's contributing to all these leaks, 3,300 of them?
It's very clear it's the aging old infrastructure, our pipeline network, not just in Boston, not just in Massachusetts, but throughout the nation, is aging. We have very old pipes that are more than 100 years old in some cases.
Yeah. So what does the city need to be doing? What do utility companies need to be doing? Indeed, state government. I mean, how should this be addressed?
That's a larger policy question, and folks that we've worked with at the Conservation Law Foundation have really used our work to develop policy recommendations, and I think those are going to be very useful. But I think it's clear that we really need to, it's easy to point the finger at one entity that's responsible, but this is infrastructure that we're all responsible for, and I think that we need municipalities, utilities, state agencies, and the consumers to be clued in and think about what we're all willing to invest in our infrastructure.
Sure. Now, there's another dark side to these widespread gas leaks that I know that you've studied, and you say that these don't only represent a fire hazard, but also an environmental hazard. What does excessive extra methane leaking into the surrounding environment do to the environment?
Well, there's effects that can happen right at the point of the leak, and then there's effects that involve our atmosphere and our climate. So at the point of the leak, there are questions, and I think more questions than answers, about whether methane in the atmosphere at elevated levels will lead to air quality issues, and that probably occurs at the city or larger scale than right at the point of the leak. There's also effects on the vegetation when the gas is seeping into soils and trees. And then at the larger scale, there's the greenhouse gas issue. So methane is many times more powerful than carbon dioxide as a greenhouse gas. So if you don't burn it and it floats into the air, it has a much higher greenhouse warming potential.
So another reason there to take this problem seriously. And going back to Springfield, Professor Phillips, the state fire marshal called this the result of human error. So is that the end of this story in your view? Or what more, as someone who's looked at this issue, what more do you want to know about this event?
Well, I surmise, and I don't know all of the facts, and many people don't. I surmise that the worker was out there to investigate gas odor, and the statement that you played suggested that there was no gas leak in the area, and that sounds fairly definitive. So perhaps the call-in about an odor was faulty, or it was something else, but it would be interesting to know whether there was, in fact, a pre-existing gas leak, because if there were and the puncture happened, that would have been something that might not have been necessary to be investigating if there wasn't a gas leak there to start with.
Well, Nathan Phillips, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Anthony.
That's Nathan Phillips. He's an associate professor in the Department of Earth and Environment at BU. His latest paper is Mapping Urban Pipeline Leaks, Methane Leaks Across Boston, which has just been e-published in the journal Environmental Pollution. You can find a link to it at radioboston.org.
Coming up, how do you successfully relaunch your career after spending time outside the workforce? We'll take a look. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.